broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
On Thursday of the 13th week in Ordinary Time, the 6th of July, the memorial of St. Maria Goretti, we begin the day giving glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Glory. I'm Brian Patrick, and in for Gloria Purvis today, our friend Catherine Zeltner. So good to see you, Catherine.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Lisa Murphy back at Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C., producing the show today. And it's good to have Father Bjorn Lundberg back with us as Godly Counsel. Father, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Today on the Memorial of St. Maria Goretti, we have from the office of God, author of innocence and lover of chastity, you bestowed grace, the grace of martyrdom on your handmaid, the Virgin St. Maria Goretti in her youth. Grant, we pray through her intercession that as you gave her a crown for her steadfastness, so we too may be firm in obeying your commandments through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And Catherine, I'm sure St. Maria Goretti is an inspiration to you and other young women especially.
What a saint for our time. I mean, just for sexual purity, forgiveness, and a reminder that you can, it's never too young to be holy.
Yeah, we'll talk more about her in a little bit, but first, a thought from Mother Angelica's perpetual calendar, Catherine.
If I'm not in sanctifying grace and doing the will of God, my mind will be cluttered with somebody or something else. We run around most of the time with cluttered minds. Then when we go to pray, we can't. Well, what were you doing and thinking before your prayer?
I love the way Mother just speaks to us so beautifully. May God rest her soul. In the news at 2 minutes after the hour, President Donald Trump calls on nations to confront what he calls North Korea's very, very bad behavior. Speaking in Warsaw, Poland, he calls out North Korea after this week's ballistic missile launch, that issue likely to be addressed as world leaders meet in Germany for the G20 summit later this week. At an emergency session of the UN Security Council Wednesday, U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley referenced the American college student who died recently just days after being released by North Korea.
If North Korea will treat an innocent young student the way it treated Otto Warmbier, we should not be surprised if it acts barbarically on a larger scale.
South Korea, Japan, and the U.S. asked for the emergency session after North Korea tested its first intercontinental ballistic missile on Tuesday. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson confirms President Trump plans to meet with Russia's Vladimir Putin outside the Group of 20 summit in Hamburg beginning Friday. Tillerson says U.S. relations with Russia are at a low point, but he adds the U.S. has been discussing Syria and other mutual interests with Moscow. A 5.8 magnitude earthquake shakes much of Montana overnight. It hit around 12:30 a.m. Mountain Time north of Helena near the small town of Lincoln. The main quake appeared to last about 10 to 15 seconds, followed by several aftershocks. Thank God there are no reports of injuries or heavy damage. There have been a few power failures. The congressman injured in a shooting last month in Virginia is back in the intensive care unit because of infection concerns. Louisiana Republican House Majority Whip Steve Scalise was shot in the hip during a practice for a congressional baseball game in mid-June. After weeks of improvement, he is back in intensive care at MedStar Washington Hospital Center, reported now in serious condition. The fight over Illinois' budget heats up. The state Senate this week passed the House-approved 32% tax hike, which was immediately vetoed by Governor Bruce Rauner. House Speaker Michael Madigan scheduled an override vote for today. Governor Rauner calls the proposed tax hike a disaster.
This bill, this permanent 32% tax hike will be devastating. It will not solve our problems.
Rauner is a Republican. The state legislature is dominated by Democrats. Catholic leaders from across the U.S. return home after a meeting in Orlando, Florida, to assess the challenges and opportunities for the church in the United States. Los Angeles Archbishop Jose Gomez, one of the main speakers.
I'm going with my friends, no car. I'm going to Mass. Yeah, take the kids, you know. Honestly, when I reflect on my life, making that decision to go to daily Mass changed my life. And look where I am.
What a great sense of humor, Catherine. I know you were there at the convocation.
That had to be the funniest moment there, that personal anecdote he shared.
Yeah, he has a great sense of humor, and he's so personal. I had the chance to speak with him in Orange, California, not too long ago. Our friend EWTN senior contributor Dr. Matthew Bunsen also attended as a panelist.
Cardinal Donald Wuerl, in his presentation at the convocation, made an important point. He said that the situations are always changing, but the teachings of the church don't. We have to find new ways to apply those teachings and to really instill in everyone a sense of missionary discipleship.
And Catherine, you had a chance to speak about the role of the media.
That's right. I was on a panel about the landscape of our culture and media and just kind of talking about how it's pretty exhausting. As we all know, we're working in media now, but if we stay focused in prayer, I think that's the key to continuing to evangelize.
More than 3,500 Catholics attended that convocation. It was 9 years in the making. I heard it was a really big success. The Vatican appoints Colombian-born Bishop Luis Rafael Zarama to head the Diocese of Raleigh. He's now serving as auxiliary for the Archdiocese of Atlanta and replaces Bishop Michael Burbage, who recently moved to the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. Bishop Burbage says he gives thanks to God for the appointment, saying, "Bishop Zarama is a holy, faithful, and joyful bishop known and respected for his pastoral skills, administrative abilities, zeal, and kindness." Isn't Bishop Burbage your bishop?
He is. He's our bishop. He was our rector in seminary, and now he's our bishop, and he's going to do great work in Arlington. And it's interesting because one of the priests from Raleigh, who is from Virginia, was named an auxiliary bishop in Atlanta. And then the auxiliary bishop of Atlanta was just sent to Raleigh. So it's this big family swap.
Yeah. Well, I know you were just named pastor of Sacred Heart Parish. Any chance that you'll be named auxiliary bishop soon?
Nope, because God is in charge.
God knows better.
Huh? Yeah, he sure
you just
does.
Never know. Ask
I'm
Catherine.
I'm in the land of apples and bacon.
Your father loves bacon. All right. I could just smell it sizzling this morning. Pope Francis sends a telegram upon the death of Cardinal Joachim Meisner, Archbishop Emeritus of Cologne. He died Wednesday at the age of 83. The Holy Father wrote, "With profound emotion, I learned that suddenly and unexpectedly, Cardinal Meisner was called from this earth by the God of mercy." Last year, Cardinal Meisner and three other cardinals wrote to Pope Francis for clarification on the Holy Father's letter, The Joy of Love. Ed Penton with EWTN's National Catholic Register has more.
Well, Cardinal Meisner grew up in what was communist Eastern Germany, and of course a town which was German and is now Polish, became Polish after the Second World War. So he had a lot of experience of growing up under communism, of dealing with dictatorships, and that's what really gave him the fire in his belly, if you like, to defend the Church's teaching on so many issues, particularly the life issues.
With the death of Cardinal Meisner, the College of Cardinals now stands at 224. Only 121 of them are under the age of 80. That makes them cardinal electors. One of Baltimore's latest homicides hits close to home for the city's police department. The victim is the brother of police department spokesman T.J. Smith.
I hope that my grief, my family's grief, is a moment for all of us to channel that into positivity and stop the violence so we don't have to talk about this with any other family.
Can you imagine how personal that must be for him to go in front of the media talking about his own brother? I remember when my brother died in a plane crash 21 years ago in Colorado. I was working at a TV station in Cincinnati, and they allowed me to go out there and cover the story of the search for his remains in the mountains. It was very powerful. It was very healing. And also by getting another helicopter, a news helicopter up in the air, it helped in the search. But it does hit very close to home when we get a story like that. It's almost 9 minutes after the hour now here on Morning Glory, and we are looking ahead to the forecast with Elisa Murphy. I do have a little sports to share with you as soon as I can find some of my sports copy this morning. Let's see where it is. The L.A. Dodgers. Alex Wood, perfect 10 so far this season. The Dodgers lefty is 10-0 after tossing 7 shutout innings in a 1-0 victory over the Diamondbacks. Aaron Judge belted his major league leading 29th home run to help the Yankees erase a 5-0 lead. But the Blue Jays rallied to send New York to its 16th loss in 22 games, edging the Yankees 7-6. The Yankees still trail the AL East by 4 games after the first-place Red Sox absorbed an 8-2 beating by Texas. Almost 10 after the hour now, and here's Elisa with your Thursday forecast.
Morning Glory weather.
Triple digits on the West Coast and more mild temps for the Northeast as we head into your Thursday, a rainy day in Harrisburg, with temps climbing into the high 70s for those tuned to Holy Family Radio this morning. A mostly sunny day in San Antonio, temps teetering on triple digits for our listeners on the Guadalupe Radio Network. And in Grafton, West Virginia, thunderstorms with a high of 76 on Light of Life Radio Ministry.
All right, 10 after the hour as Morning Glory continues on Thursday, July 6th. If the usually bubbly Father Bjorn seems a little slow this morning, jet lag.
Tired, yeah, exactly.
Just got back.
We landed last night, flew back from our final part of our pilgrimage. We went to Fatima, Spain, and Lourdes, and we got in last night at about 7 o'clock. And so I don't know what time it is right now. I think it's about 2 in the afternoon. But it was great. We took 34 people from John Paul the Great School, so 20 kids, 14 mm-hmm. adults, two Dominican sisters in there. And we started in Fatima. But the trip was designed, and I want to mention this a little bit later with Sherry mm-hmm. Whittle, our guest, by our director of mission and evangelization, Emma Boyle. And it was originally based around the centenary of the Fatima apparitions, but then we worked with a Catholic tour company, 206 Tours, and they said they had a pilgrimage that also went through Spain and to Lourdes, and we couldn't turn down that. So we went to Salamanca, which is kind of like the Oxford of Spain, the university town. We went to Torres Ciudad, a big Marian shrine in the Lakes region, and several other places. Went to Avila, talked to one of the cloistered sisters mm-hmm. there, the nuns in the convent, who I know from Christendom. And then we ended in Lourdes for a couple days and got to, you know, go to the baths and be in the rosary procession, the procession of the sick. Prayed for everybody all the time, everywhere we went. So it was really amazing.
Yeah, I took a secular tour with my daughter years ago, and we docked the ship in the harbor there near Rome and took a bus to Rome. And on the way, there's a sign for Siena and a sign for Assisi. Right. It's like, well, I want to go there. But they just went directly to Rome. So you did the pilgrimage.
We crammed in a lot, and there was some pilgrimage aspects. There was some lost luggage. One of our poor kids didn't get their luggage. We arrived on Tuesday. She didn't get her suitcase till Friday.
Oh, my goodness.
But thankfully, her sister was on the trip. And then my luggage came in Thursday, but I managed to get away with my faded black clerics for a while.
Yeah.
And but it was amazing. I mean, you know, the Fatima centenary, to be there and to see the crown with the bullet that shot Pope John Paul. Wow. And then, you know, the children being canonized by Pope Francis. And so seeing their tombs and then walking the places where the angel appeared to them. And then in Lourdes, too, going to the baths. I mean, that water is so cold. And if it doesn't kill you from, like, doing a polar bear plunge, it's very invigorating. And then, it's so beautiful. And listening to the weather report, I was so grateful because everything was really cool until, like, the last day. So I'm expecting now a heat wave is hitting there. But it was just great to be with the kids and pray in all these places. You know, we crammed a lot in, so there was a lot of driving on the bus. But
how was it for the students? Do you think they were able to really take it in and understand the significance?
Yeah, it was interesting because, as I mentioned, Emma Boyle, who works at John Paul the Great, who mm-hmm. The director of mission, she spent like a year preparing for this. We did a whole year-long thing for the centenary of Fatima. She designed a nine-week novena throughout the school that included videos that kids helped make, and then we did a consecration of the school to the Immaculate Heart on the day before May 13th, because that was a Saturday. And so so there was preparation for the whole school. And then again, when you bring kids on a pilgrimage, I think at first it's like, great, you know, this is going to be religion, you know, and everything. But, you know, they loved it. You could just see the joy. You hear the kids. I mean, we would pile off a bus and go somewhere and explain something, and everyone's getting their phones out, taking pictures, and but no, it was really positive. And at the end, you know, the kids are really grateful. Friendships are deepened. But, you know, I think it's like for any of us, you know, you go thinking, well, what's this going to be like?
Right.
And then you just see Our Lady's working and Our Lord is working. And so it was really powerful.
Beautiful experience. And this is the first time I've seen you, Catherine, since you've been engaged to Matt Hadro of Catholic News Agency.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Two of my favorite people. Father Bjorn, every Mass that was celebrated there at Guadalupe Chapel, I remember going in and Catherine and Matt would be kind of on opposite sides of the chapel. Now you sit together.
I know. I said, okay, now everyone knows.
Yeah, exactly.
We can sit together.
They can sit on different parts of chapel, then have a coffee break after Mass.
Right.
The Lord has blessed you two with each other,
really,
and we are just so happy for you. I always think of you as one of my own daughters, and I'm so glad to see the great progress you're making.
Well, thanks for caring for me. I'm grateful.
Very much. All right, so there's a great new book out about Mother Angelica, Father.
Yes, Brandon McGinley of EWTN Publishing is going to join us next to talk about it. It's Mother Angelica's Quick Guide to the Sacraments. Stay tuned.
Morning Glory continues on your Thursday here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're glad to have you along.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Save the date, September 9th and 10th. EWTN's free family celebration event comes to the DCU Center in Worcester, Massachusetts, featuring your favorite EWTN television and radio hosts, our religious catalog shop, Holy Mass, and EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pacwa.
Listen to EWTN Radio at any time, day or night. Audio on demand brings your favorite programs, recently broadcasted shows, prayers, and devotionals instantly to you for free. For more, visit EWTNapps.com.
On fire for EWTN? Get Amazon Fire TV. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Amazon Fire TV player. Never miss any of your favorite EWTN television or radio programs again.
This is John Martinoni, host of Open Line Monday.
Hello, this is Archbishop Charles J. Chaput, the Archbishop of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
This is Jerry Usher, co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
That's why we have jet lag. It's good to have you with us on Morning Glory. I want to remind you, Joan Lewis, host of EWTN's Joan Rome and the Vatican Insider, will join Teresa Tomeo today. Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, starting at 9 Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. 17 after the hour. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick. And in for Gloria Purvis today, my friend Catherine Zellner.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy is our producer, and our godly counsel, Father Bjorn Lundberg.
One of my favorite stories about Mother Angelica is when she ordered a $600,000 satellite dish without payment, and it showed up, and she didn't have the money, and she went into the chapel and said, "Lord, I blew it. I guess you don't want this." And then a guy called from his yacht in the Bahamas on a boat and called up and said he wanted to give her $600,000 and answer that prayer. So Mother loved the Eucharist. She loved the sacraments, and we're blessed this morning to have Brandon McGinley, who's an editor for EWTN Publishing. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about the new book, A Quick Guide to the Sacraments.
Absolutely. So in this compilation of the original mini-books of Mother Angelica, you'll get, just as it says, a mother's reflections on the sacraments of the Church. And you'll see references to just about all the sacraments in here, based, like I said, based on the mini books that she wrote back in the 1970s. But you see a particular focus on two. One, of course, would be the Eucharist, Mass and the Eucharist. After all, Mother was a member of the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration. The Eucharist was the very center of the life of the community. But you also see some really interesting material on confirmation and the Holy Spirit. There's a wonderful collection of personal reflections that are both, that are also very deeply theologically informed about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This would be a great book for the young, soon-to-be confirmed young adult in your life.
It's interesting, too, for our listeners that this is really a kind of a historical book, because out of these mini-books, the network grew. When Mother started writing these books, in the devotion of the Holy Spirit, she would just spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament and write these, like the Lord would kind of just inspire her. And then everything grew out of this. She did her interviews. All of a sudden, she started discovering TV. They were evangelizing people. So to get this is kind of like to get the foundation of the whole EWTN project.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, by the mid-1970s, the nuns, it's kind of, you just told the story about how she, how Mother Angelica bought the $600,000 satellite dish, and I was like, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay for this?
Classic.
Well, this is exactly what she did with the printing press that the nuns bought, that they had absolutely no idea how to run. Through that was $13,000, so she was kind of working her way up to the big ticket item.
Yeah, they just dismantled that printing press, by the way. There's a big reconstruction of the facility in Irondale, and So the printing press is not really viable anymore in this age of cyberspace.
They better put that in the museum.
Yeah, it belongs in a museum, yeah.
Like you said, this was the beginning of the mass media operation at Our Lady of the Angels Monastery in Irondale. They were churning out 25,000 copies of these mini books every day using equipment that usually people would take years and years to be able to understand and kind of deal with the particularities of it. And the nuns just got it working, got it humming. And so, like you said, those 25,000 mini books a day became interviews, became talks, became speeches, became radio and television, and here we are.
Brandon, how long did you work on this project? I mean, it was a great service for history and for the EWTN family.
Yeah, we're still working on Mother Angelica's mini books. There'll be even more projects to come, but one of the nice things about working on Mother Angelica's book is that these are faithful representations of her original work. So it's pretty easy for me. I just need to put them all together because we don't want to change anything. So what you'll see, with the exception of the odd typo here or there that we corrected, these are the words Mother Angelica wrote in their entirety, in their fullness, in their authenticity, in their quirkiness. You'll see the authentic work of Mother Angelica here,
which is such a gift for the church and for those that who love EWTN. Mother Angelica is no longer with us, but what fruit she left for us, what inspirations in her words, and for those of us who she was working for years and years, so there's a lot to dig through. So thank you.
Yeah,
this is also
absolutely.
It kind of goes along. I mean, you could do like an extended study, along with Raymond's biography, when you hear the history and read the history of how the network started and Mother's different, adventures, than to sit down and read these books along with it. I always take great comfort being kind of a disaster myself when they had in the room, the printing press, they had a typo, but it had the sign Dodo's for Jesus. It said Doodoo's for Jesus. And she said, we don't know what we're doing, but we're getting good at it.
You inherited some of Mother's sense of humor, Father. A little drier.
And I have to say, when it comes to the sacraments, Mother Angelica, she was a cloistered religious. Brandon, you're a father, you're a husband. This is applicable to everyone.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one of my favorite things about all of these books by Mother Angelica. You have the really beautiful reflections that come from a life lived in the cloister. Father, as you mentioned, she wrote these books while in prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament. She had a yellow pad of paper, and she was in adoration, and she just wrote away. And she didn't even have much experience with writing, and when they were all done, the nuns were like, wow, these are really good. We don't even have to do much editing. They can just go right to print. But at the same time, as viewers of EWTN know, these books are also full of practical wisdom that come from her experiences before entering the cloister in Canton and in growing up, but then also just come from the wealth of practical experience she earned through time meeting people who visited the cloister and just from kind of the applications of her own reflections that viewers were privileged to hear about on the television show through time. So there's a timelessness here.
Brandon, are you finding that since Mother's death, a little more than a year ago, that there is more demand for the things that she wrote from people who may not have been aware of her before, while she was alive?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think that's probably the case, and I think there's something, I think there's something really tangible about having a physical book. Of course, these books are also available in ebook format, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like there's something tangible that feels like you're holding a piece of somebody's legacy. That makes the memory more tangible. So I think, there has been a special interest. And also, Mother will go down as one of those important figures in American Catholicism in the past century. And so again, that, having a piece of that legacy to hold in your hand is really appeals to a lot of people.
Well, thank you, Brandon, for this service to the EWTN family, to the church, and for Mother's cause. People can check out the book at sophiainstitute.com and EWTNRC.com. Thanks for joining us this morning, Brandon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, good to talk to you. 25 after the hour now, and just ahead of Father sharing more on Fatima. He just came from there. Of course, this is the 100th anniversary of the apparitions at Fatima. Let's go to a little Catholic chatter with our producer, Elisa Murphy.
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. You can email the show directly, morningglory@EWTN.com. Yesterday, we had Elizabeth Ficicelli filling in for Gloria with you, Brian. And Allie wrote in regarding the wonderful beauty of dance. Elizabeth gave a little talk on the theology of dance, something you may not consider sometimes. And I think the entire thing ends with her and her husband, she and her husband swing dancing. So it's something you might not want to miss. We've also heard from Richard, who's an attorney, and he very much appreciates, Catherine, your new show, Pro-Life Weekly. As an attorney himself, he works with a lot of people dealing with death in the family and understanding the legal ramifications of documents. So bringing all these things to the forefront is so important in his industry, and he very much applauds your work.
Elisa Murphy, our producer, thank you for Catholic Chatter at 26 after. Father, earlier you mentioned the bullet that struck John Paul II is in the crown of Our Lady of Fatima, placed there by the saint himself.
Yes, and the importance of Fatima has not ended. As recent popes, Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, John Paul himself, emphasize, Fatima is more than ever important for our times because Our Lady is calling us back, if you will, from like the edge of a cliff. When everyone's rushing madly over a cliff, you know, you feel crazy going in the other direction. But Our Lady wants to heal her sons and daughters and bring people back to God. And Fatima's message, especially devotion to the Immaculate Heart, is something that we want to turn to. Because when you're in a place of crisis, when you don't know what to do, when you're going through a lot, you're like, who can I talk to? Who is there for me? Who will understand me? And in Our Lady's heart, because of the suffering that she underwent to, if you will, spiritually give birth to us, there is a place for us. Father Fred Miller, who is up in seminary in Seton Hall in Newark, New Jersey, makes the point that there is more love in Our Lady's Immaculate Heart than there is evil in the world. And so to think that no matter what we're going through, her heart is our refuge, that's really important. And I would encourage people, if they're not familiar with Fatima or they know something about it, in this centenary year, you can gain indulgences for the celebrations this year. But learn about devotion to the Immaculate Heart and recover, if you don't have or discover for the first time, the practice of the five first Saturdays of spending time praying the rosary, going to Mass, receiving communion, and then spending 15 minutes in meditation on the mysteries of the rosary. Because you can't know someone that you don't spend time with. Mm-hmm. And we want to know Our Lady. And we want to know that no matter what our career path, whether getting married or being on the radio or listening to the show or anybody, that having Our Lady in your life is so critical. And it's a gem that some people don't know about. You know, the bullet that pierced his heart was guided by Our Lady's hand, and the bullets that pierce our hearts are guided by her hands as well.
That's what we mean when we say Catholic from the start. That's right. That's Morning Glory and our godly counsel, Father Bjorn Lundberg. Coming up, our dear friend Jeannie Mancini, president of March for Life, will be joining Catherine and I to talk about life issues, and we'll stay with Morning Glory. I hope you will, too, on EWTN.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Looking for a solid and dependable Catholic radio station in your area? One that's uplifting and authoritative? A trustworthy tool for the new evangelization? God may be calling you to a mission in Catholic radio. Find out how you can start a Catholic radio station where you live, powered by the truth of the Church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming.
Contact me, Jack Williams, at 205-795-5756 or jwilliams@ewtn.com.
EWTN Radio Classics is our 24/7 teaching and devotionals channel straight from the EWTN archives. Go classic with EWTN Radio Classics online at EWTNradio.net and on the EWTN app.
Celebrating 100 years of Fatima with Monsignor Charles Pope.
On May 13, 1917, in her first apparition to the three children, Our Lady of Fatima said, "Are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings He wills to send you as an act of reparation for the conversion of sinners?" It's a powerful question. It's a question that's also being asked of us. Are we willing? Do we pray for the conversion of sinners? Are we willing to fast? Are we willing to accept sufferings that the Lord might send us so that sinners can be converted? Are we even willing to suffer ourselves for our own conversion? So often we simply want things to be well, but we don't want to be part of the solution. We ask God to fix things. But God asks us, will you join me in this great work of the conversion of sinners?
Join EWTN as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima. visit EWTN.com/Fatima.
Hello, this is Bishop Robert Baker from the Diocese of Birmingham in Alabama.
I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
Hello, friends. This is Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
It is a rainy Thursday morning, July the 6th, the memorial of St. Maria Goretti in Washington, D.C. at Guadalupe Studios, half past the hour. This is Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. Brian Patrick, along with Catherine Zeltner, in for Gloria Purvis. Elisa Murphy is our producer and our godly counsel, just back from Lourdes and Fatima. Father Bjorn Lundberg begins our half hour with prayer.
Heavenly Father, in this centenary year of Fatima, when you call us to rediscover the power of your love, help us to turn back to you. Help us to be witnesses like Maria Goretti. Help young people and not so young to discover the power of purity through the intercession of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And for those just joining us, I wonder, Catherine, would you share Mother's thought again this morning?
Absolutely. If I'm not in sanctifying grace and doing the will of God, my mind will be cluttered with somebody or something else. We run around most of the time with cluttered minds. Then when we go to pray, we can't. Well, what were you doing and thinking before your prayer?
All right. Catherine was one of the panelists at the convocation of Catholic leaders in Orlando, where Gloria Purvis has been acting as a moderator for one of the main sessions. Gloria will have a musing for us in about 10 minutes as Morning Glory continues. A 5.8 magnitude earthquake shakes much of Montana overnight, hitting around 12:30 in the morning, mountain time, near Helena, about north of there, a small town of Lincoln. The main quake lasted maybe 10 to 15 seconds. There were several aftershocks. We have no reports so far of any injuries or heavy damage, but a few power failures. At a UN emergency session of the Security Council Wednesday, U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, in speaking of the anti-ballistic or the ballistic missile test conducted by North Korea this week, referenced the American college student who died recently just days after being released by North Korea.
If North Korea will treat an innocent young student the way it treated Otto Warmbier, we should not be surprised if it acts barbarically on a larger scale.
Speaking in Warsaw, Poland, ahead of the G20 summit, President Trump urged all nations to act against North Korea, to come up in union to counter North Korea's what he calls very, very bad behavior. Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence meets with Jeannie Mancini, president of March for Life, Education and Defense Fund. And I know that you and Jeannie work very closely together, Catherine, as pro-life warriors.
I'm so grateful for her and just the role she has in the pro-life movement. Jeannie, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm so grateful for you, too. And let me just clarify, it wasn't a one-on-one meeting with the vice president. There was a small group of pro-life leaders. So, but it's just
close.
Always an honor to be in his presence.
Indeed.
That's a man of God.
That is incredible. Can you give us a snapshot? Why was this meeting called together? What was the main topic at hand?
Sure. And just kind of broadly, I would say, it's a real priority of the president to get the health care bill passed. Mm-hmm. And it's such a blessing to have in office Vice President Pence and President Trump, who really are very pro-life. And I mean, we've seen so many actions from the administration in their short time that have supported a pro-life agenda. And so really the meeting was about the combination of healthcare passage, repeal and replace, and combining that with keeping the pro-life protections that we all really want to have in place,
which
the Hyde Amendment, mm-hmm. and other aspects as well.
Defunding Planned Parenthood and keeping the Hyde Amendment, which prevents taxpayer funding of abortions. Did they give any indication that that will stay in place? I mean, abortion lobbyists are really putting the pressure on our senators to take those provisions out.
And so, of course, what we're hoping to see is potentially a vote next week or the following week in the Senate. And so it's really right now in the hands of the Senate and, mm-hmm. To decide how this happens. There are a few areas that for the March for Life and for many other pro-life groups that we're watching very closely. One part in particular, and this is a little bit in the details, has to do with the continuation of the Obamacare tax credits. Hmm. And there's a lot of fear and good for the right reason that the parliamentarian will take out the current Hyde protections that would cover the tax credits, thereby kind of removing, you know, what we need to have in place to keep a pro-life. So there's, you know, a lot of conversation about different ways to handle that and other fixes.
And it is very, you know, nuanced, so we're grateful for you, you know, keeping an eye on it and monitoring it. This really, the concept of just going into the White House and joining the administration, you have probably had a chance to do that the past few years.
I took a tour in the White House during the Obama administration, but that was the closest I got. Right.
Well, we're so grateful that pro-life activists now have an open door at the White House. I know Catherine visits there often, as do you, and of course, Marjorie Dannenfelser, the mm-hmm. Susan B. Anthony list. It's always great to have you with us, Jeannie. God bless you today, and thanks for joining Morning Glory.
Thanks so much for having me.
And with President Trump overseas this week, his aides continue working to get more senators behind that health care bill that Jeannie referred to. An option to only repeal Obamacare if all else fails remains on the table, at least temporarily. At a forum on veterans' health in McKinney, Texas, Wednesday, Senator Ted Cruz suggests Democrats treat health care like a fantasy where everything's free.
In a world where you believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and pixie fairies, you can give free everything to everyone. But in the real world, that doesn't work. And so what politicians do all the time is they mandate, we're going to give free stuff to people. We're going to mandate, you got to get this, you got to get that, you got to get that.
That's Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas. And Ivanka Trump defends her proposal for paid family leave after a Wall Street Journal opinion piece opposed the government's role in administering such a program, calling it an entitlement. The president's daughter replied that a guaranteed family leave program is a smart investment in America's working families. Michigan's pro-life Republican Governor Rick Snyder vetoes a bill authorizing a Choose Life license plate. Income from the new plate would fund suicide prevention efforts and help for women facing crisis pregnancies. Governor Snyder says he believes the Choose Life license plates is a political message that has the potential to bitterly divide millions of Michiganders. The bill's sponsor, Senator Patrick Kolbeck, responds, "The only way that holds any credence as a divisive message is if you somehow believe choose death is a viable message." And it's not. 30 states and the District of Columbia already offer Choose Life license plates. How sad that Michigan can't have one. Some Dutch doctors object to euthanasia in their country, where people who have reduced mental capacity due to dementia are being euthanized. Current law allows doctors to euthanize without verbal consent if a written declaration of will has been provided in advance. An ad taken out in the Netherlands by more than 200 Dutch doctors begins, "Assisted suicide for someone who cannot confirm he wants to die? Question mark. No, we will not do that." Elisa, this is in response to an elderly person being euthanized against her will.
Yes, it's a very sad situation. An 80-year-old woman who had dementia essentially at one point had said, okay, I do, you know, she signed on to be euthanized, mm-hmm. ultimately decided she did not want that to occur. And so they put it, ultimately they followed this archaic now will she had signed. They put a sedative in her coffee that was ineffective. So therefore, they had to employ the help of family members to hold her down to actually inject her. It's a very sad story. And it's wonderful, though, to see these Dutch doctors taking a stand.
It's very important that they do. At 22 before the hour, just ahead of Elisa's forecast, some sports this morning. Major League Baseball, Matt Garza combines with three relievers on an eight-hitter as the Brewers blank the Orioles 4-0, keeping their 3.5-game lead over the Cubs in the NL Central. John Jay belts a sixth-inning homer, and Ian Happ follows with a tie-breaking two-run single in the seventh. The Cubs beat the Rays 7-3, earning a split of that two-game series. The Padres' offense shines at a 6-2 win over the Indians. Kansas City's extra-inning win at Seattle leaves the Royals just a half a game behind the AL Central-leading Indians. And Irvin Santana's complete game seven-hitter wasn't enough for the Twins in a 2-1 loss to the Angels. Houston drops its magic number to 60 with a 10-4 win over the Braves, and John Gray crushes a 467-foot home run, pitching into the sixth inning of the Rockies' third win in 14 games, 5-3 over the Reds. Pat Valaika's two-run home run in the bottom of the fourth extends the Rockies' lead.
Valaika drives this to right. Schebler going back, looking up. It is gone. Touch him all time for Pat Valaika into the Rockies' bullpen. 4-1 Colorado.
And the Marlins outscore the Cardinals 9-6. It's 20 till, just ahead of Morning Glory Musings. Here's Elisa with your forecast.
Morning Glory weather.
In Lebanon, Tennessee, on this Thursday, temps nearing 70 with rain. For those joining us on Risen Radio this morning, a sunny day with temps in the mid-80s in Bismarck, North Dakota. For those joining us on Real Presence Radio, and for those listeners in Oil City, PA, listening to Station of the Cross, expect a cloudy day with some passing showers climbing to 78.
Our godly counsel, Father Bjorn, talks about surrendering to God at the Mass in just a moment. It's 20 till. First, though, let's go to Gloria Purvis, who has been a moderator at the convocation in Orlando before leaving on her trip. Gloria left us her Morning Gloria musings.
So as we wrapped the convocation, I kept thinking of a lot of the conversations I'd had before the convocation. And one that kept coming back over and over was about people's interior predisposition to serve the Lord. And I remember one panelist saying to me before the panel, well, are people willing? They have to ask themselves, are they willing? So I'm going to invite you to reflect on your own journey as a Catholic. I want you to think about, how do you encounter Christ on a regular basis? Are you trying to be in tune to his voice and understanding the language that the Lord uses to speak to you? How did you become more active in your faith? How will you become more active in your faith? And who called you? I mean, who called you to be in this church? And what are your struggles or temptations in being a missionary disciple in the church? What do you consider some of your successful moments as a missionary disciple? And what are your hopes and dreams for the church, for your community, for your family, and for your own future as a Catholic Christian? These are some of the things that we should be thinking about as we heed the call of Christ to go out and make disciples of every nation. I mean, let's think more about what we can give when we go to church rather than what we're getting. Let's think a little bit beyond, oh, I'm just going to help Father. Is there more that you can do, whatever your state in life is? And I'm sure the answer is yes. And it will perhaps take you out of your comfort zone, which is precisely what Christians are called to do. And I hope you're encouraged as you think about how you might be able to better serve the Lord using whatever your gifts and your talents are. And just know that we need you. The church needs you. The world needs you. And think about this. There were no saints who got to heaven alone. So let's join up in our friendship as believers and go out there and change the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. It's 18 before the hour, and our godly counsel, Father Bjorn, can build on that with some spiritual direction this morning.
Absolutely. A friend of Morning Glory, Paul Marich, who used to teach at John Paul the Great High School and is now entering the Dominicans, he sent me a text that the president in a speech right now referred to John Paul's 1979 Mass in during his address, when the people rose up and cried out during the Mass, "We want God, we want God." And it's in the Mass where we find God and where we encounter him, but it's also the place where we can surrender to him. Gloria was referring to how we can be a missionary disciple. Well, when we come to Mass, we discover the love of God in a really unique way. Imagine if the king of a country said he loved you officially, as he made an official proclamation. You'd be amazed. Then as a noble individual, if he said that, you know, he really wanted you to have the best, you'd be really impressed just on his human level, his character. But if he told you on a personal, tender level, with all his affection and kindness, he loved you as a friend, you would be deeply moved. And this is how Jesus loves us. He loves us as God. He loves us in his human nature, but he loves us with his heart, with all the tenderness of that heart. And in the Mass, we are present. He made it possible for us to be present at that moment when he surrendered to God on our behalf and offered up all the sufferings of his life, all the sacrifices, so that we could be reconciled to him. So when we're going through rough times and we're having struggles in our relationships and in our life and we don't know what to do and what our place is, or maybe things are going great, when we come to Mass, we have this chance to unite ourselves to the love and the will of Christ in the Mass and surrender ourselves to God. And every time we go, we can do that more deeply. We can think about, how have I surrendered to God this past week or in recent days? Where am I failing to surrender to him? Is there something coming up that we know that God is asking us to give him that maybe we're afraid to give? Jesus will give us that grace. So by loving the Lord and focusing on the Mass and saying, we want God, we can become the disciples he wants us to be by discovering that personal, tender, and powerful love of God for us in the Mass.
All right. Thank you, Father. On this 6th of July, we celebrate the memorial of St. Maria Goretti. I'm going to ask Catherine to tell us a little bit more about this young saint in our next segment. Also, Father, we're going to have a guest on about fruitful discipleship.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're having Sherry Waddell. She's from the Catherine of Siena Institute, and she's talking to us about how to live the mission of Jesus in the church and the world. Next, here on Morning Glory.
Also, Father talks about today's gospel from the 9th chapter of St. Matthew. As Jesus makes a crossing in the boat, and a paralytic is brought to him on a stretcher. That's coming up in our last segment of Morning Glory for this Thursday next.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
If you're currently an EWTN media missionary or just interested in becoming one, we've got some great news. EWTN Media Missionaries has a new and improved website, EWTNmissionaries.com, designed with you in mind. Our new site is loaded with great features and it's easy to navigate. There are so many different ways that you can help EWTN. Join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today.
Have you heard about Church Pop? It's the newest member of the EWTN family with new online Christian content that's fun and inspiring every day. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com.
This is Bishop John Brungardt of the Diocese of Dodge City.
This is Colin Donovan, Vice President for Theology.
This is Father Larry Richards, host of Open Line Thursday. Thanks for listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Value your opinion. Email morningglory at EWTN.com.
We share some of those opinions on Catholic Chatter with our producer Elisa Murphy in just a little bit. Our guest host today, Catherine Zeltner, shares more about St. Maria Goretti in a few minutes. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick, along with our godly counsel, Father Bjorn Lundberg.
Today, we're blessed to have Sherry Waddell, who's co-founder of the Catherine of Siena Institute. She may be familiar to many of our EWTN listeners from her book, Faithful Intentional Disciples. Good morning, Sherry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. It's early here in Colorado.
Yeah, well, thanks for getting up so early. Yeah.
I'm really excited about your new book. I'd like to share some developments at the school I used to work at where we built on your work. Tell us about Fruitful Discipleship, Living the Mission of Jesus in the Church and the World.
Well, basically, it's sort of the follow-up to Forming Intentional Disciples. Once you're a disciple, you know, kind of what happens after that and what can you expect to see in your life. And I'm focusing on the fact that once you're following Jesus, he sends you. That I love what John Paul II said. He basically said the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of our hearts and is communicating a call. He is giving us gifts, but we have to be helped to embrace them and to hear the call and to answer it. And so basically that's what the book is about, and I do spend quite a bit of time in the book talking about charisms, or those gifts that you and I have been given in baptism for the sake of others, gifts of the Holy Spirit, and their implications for our lives and discerning where God is calling you to and for evangelization. You know, I mean, the whole life of the church is really nourished as each one of us steps up to the plate, answers the call, you know, begins to discern and exercise those gifts, begins to discern our vocation. And every bit of fruit you bear empowers me, and every bit of fruit I bear empowers you in the communion, you know, of saints and empowers. What's fascinating is we empower the whole church. So we expand her evangelizing capacity, her compassion. We are great witnesses to the world. I mean, the church teaching basically says that these gifts, the fruit we bear, is a sign to people who don't believe. And the truth is, they aren't much interested in our theory, but they're really interested in our fruit. That's intriguing. And to see how God, the role of God in our lives and what he does through us. And so that gets people's attention. So they're really valuable in terms of bringing Christ to others. So there's lots of wonderful things going on here.
On a personal note, I just finished up working 5 years as a chaplain at a high school, and I'm part of your blog discussion group on Facebook. And 2 years ago, after we did our accreditation process at John Paul the Great High School, we began various professional learning communities within the school among the faculty and staff, PLCs. And we did among others, that we have a discipleship PLC. So we used your book, and for 2 years we've discussed it, and we have this kind of new great position. As I'm leaving, I'm sad that I won't be there for that. But Emma Boyle is our new Director of Mission and Evangelization, and it came out of the fruitfulness of reading that book and discussing it within the school community. And so, I mean, in your work, your team has worked with over 100,000 Catholics, and this book has true stories of parishes, cities, dioceses, schools that are being affected by this. Can you explain a little bit about the 23 charisms that you identify in the book?
Sure. There are more than 23 charisms, right, of course, because the Holy Spirit is infinite, but
right.
But we picked 23 of the most common that we have helped people discern over the past, nearly 24 years now I've been doing this. So to include everything, some of the big ones like healing, you know, that people think of first, but also administration or intercessory prayer or craftsmanship or hospitality and encouragement. All of these are ways that that we are empowered by God. Now, different people get different charisms depending on sort of God's purpose for our life and the role he wants us to play, you know, in the church, in the mission of Christ. But these are ways you and I are supernaturally empowered by God for the sake of others. When we exercise them, they're energizing and joyful and satisfying, and it feels like God is with you. You have a sense of the presence of God. But especially, they are very, very effective. So God does things through us that are beyond power. There's stuff only God could do. And so, you know, if you're one of those people that people just want to talk, you know, people who don't believe, people who don't go to church, people who aren't Catholic, but they want to talk about God when mm-hmm. you're around.
Mm-hmm.
Because, often that's what happens with people who have a charisma of evangelism, because in their presence, non-believers somehow just want to talk about it. People come and ask us for the gifts we've been given, even if we don't know what they are. And that's something so mysterious, we don't understand how it works, but they sense it in you, and they will come and ask you for it. And, you know, so that's basically, we're always
Sherry,
saying,
listen, I agree with your enthusiasm. I agree with your enthusiasm about this, but for some reason, it almost sounds like your life will be a panacea if you follow this charism. Don't you face a lot of challenges and struggles?
Of course. No, it's real, but it's not magic.
Right.
And all the usual, we'll all be struggling, we'll run into obstacles, we'll suffer, that kind of thing. And yet, the healing and the provision of God comes through the rest of the body to you. In other words, your gift is not for you, it's for someone else, and it's the answer to their prayers, not necessarily your prayers. Someone else will be the answer to your prayers.
I love how in your second book you talked about how in difficult times in the history of the church, and you know, after the French Revolution, other times, that God gives charisms to lay people, priests, religious, that these are gifts given to build up the church, and that God is awakening a sleeping giant again through this awareness that we're all called to be intentional disciples. So we really appreciate you being on. How can we get a copy of your book, or our listeners get a copy of your new book?
Okay, just go to www.sienna.org, Catherine of Siena Institute.
Great, and also at osv.com. Thank you for joining us, Sherry.
osv.com.
Hope lots of people pick up the book and continue this awesome work of using their gifts to build up and evangelize in the church today.
Thank you so much, Father.
Thanks, Sherry. Okay, so 7 minutes before the hour, and Catherine's going to share more with us about this inspirational saint we celebrate today, Maria Goretti.
What a saint she was. One of the church's youngest, 11 years old, when she was attacked by a family friend, really, who tried to rape her. She resisted. She wanted to hold on to her purity. He ended up stabbing her. She wound up in the hospital. Her wounds were
irreparable. They couldn't heal her. And I was reading one story, the surgeon, seeing that she was going to die, said, you know, Maria, remember me in paradise. And she said, well, whoever gets there first. And he said, it'll be you, Maria. And she said, well, I will definitely remember you. And one of the most important things I think we must remember about this young saint is she forgave her assailant. And years later, he went to prison. I think he was there for 23 years. He had a dream with her. She appeared. She was holding lilies, which is an image she's often depicted in, and his hand started burning. He woke up, and he was a changed man, and he ended up becoming, I want to say, a lay Franciscan, but he was at her canonization. So I think it is an unbelievable story, obviously, of saintly, the forgiveness. So what a saint for our time, for sexual purity, for forgiveness. And once again, at 11 years old, she's a saint. You're never too young to pursue holiness, and it's something we all must do.
Saint Maria Goretti, pray for us. It's 5 till. Father looks at the first 9 verses of Matthew's 9th chapter, today's gospel, right after Catholic Chatter with Elisa Murphy.
We've heard from Michael this morning, who is 3 chapters in to Sherry Waddell's new book, Fruitful Discipleship, and he says he just loves the reliance on grace and prayer. We've also heard from Eleanor, who very much loved your stories, Father, recounting your beautiful pilgrimage. You just got back late last night. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And also, she's wondering, are you going through withdrawals, leaving St. John Paul the Great?
I am, and that's part of the surrender. We trust. We give all those good gifts God gives us. We give back to Him, and then He gives us more gifts.
Amen.
And you have a great gift of preaching. Let's hear a little bit about today's gospel from St. Matthew.
We hear the people challenging Jesus when He forgives this man. Courage, child, your sins are forgiven. They say this man is blaspheming. Jesus hits the heart of the issue. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? Because forgiving sin was the power of God, deeper and more powerful. But so just so they would know, He says, rise up, take your stretcher, and go home. Realizing that the great miracles that Jesus gives us, the greatest miracle is turning the bread and wine into the Eucharist on the altar, and then bringing us to new life in this confessional. That's the greatest power. St. Augustine says it's greater than the creation of the whole universe, to recreate us in His love.
Well, for a jet-lagged traveler, you had great life to share with us this week. Thank you. And Catherine, so great to have you as our co-host today. We hope you'll come back soon.
Oh, I hope so, too.
And we'll watch and listen for EWTN Pro Life Weekly here on the EWTN Global Network. With Gloria and I off tomorrow, John Leonetti is your guest host, along with our producer, Lisa Murphy, and wonderful guests. So we hope you'll spend your Friday morning with Morning Glory. Don't forget the Best of Morning Glory Saturday morning at 7 o'clock Eastern. In the meantime, we give glory to God as always, first thing in the morning, closing out the show today with glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a blessed day, and we'll talk with you in the morning, our Morning Glory team, tomorrow on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.